Our theme for the month of September has been connecting. We've talked about connecting to God, connecting to Christ, and this morning, connecting to one another last week with Calvin Henderson, who incidentally got to clean the field house again this morning. And today we're looking at connecting to the church. We've asked Titus Martin, the associate pastor of the College Hill Reformed Presbyterian Church, to come and speak this morning. Titus is a 2001 graduate of Geneva, graduating in elementary education, a 2005 graduate of the Reformed Presbyterian Seminary, and then he spent about a year traveling around the world and then was recently called to be the associate pastor of the College Hill Church. I want to address our attention to a passage in which we are told by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 what it is that the ascended Christ has done. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Thanks.
It's a privilege to be up here, but I have to say it's very weird. 5 years ago, I would be sitting somewhere in those bleachers listening to the speaker here, and I never thought I would be the one standing up here and speaking. I'm glad that a lot of you have come, although I know that it's mandatory, so I know for some of you this is going to be more like a study hall or nap time, but I recognize that. But before you start that, or maybe you've already started it, we have the privilege of feeding on God's Word for the next 20 minutes, and it's a privilege that not everyone in the world gets to do, so pay attention. You'll find nothing more satisfying than God's Word. So, I ask you a question. How important is it to go to church? How important is it to be connected to a local congregation? Emily Dickinson wrote a poem that really sums up a lot of modern thinking about the church. And this is what she wrote. Some keep the Sabbath going to church. I keep it staying at home, with a bobolink for a chorister and an orchard for a dome. God preaches, a noted clergyman, and the sermon is never long, so instead of getting to heaven at last, I'm going all along. Emily Dickinson thought it was much more beneficial for her to stay at home or to take a walk in an orchard than to go to church. So what do you think? Do you think you could spend your time in a much better way than going to church? Many Christians believe that going to church is a good thing, and you can go if you want, but really it's not that necessary. So some people decide to take a walk in the woods or read the Bible and pray on their own. They think they can do that, and that's much more beneficial. They feel much more refreshed than going to church. Well, I want to show you today, through God's Word, that there is nothing that can replace being connected to a church. Church involvement is very important, and it's vital to the Christian life. So you're here at college. You've entered a new phase in your life. You make most of your decisions. You decide who you hang out with, what you're going to eat, what time you go to bed, what time you wake up. You decide if you're going to skip the next class or not. You also get to decide if you're going to be connected to a church. I want you to see today that not only does God command us to be connected to a church, but I want you to see that belonging to a church is a huge benefit, and it works for our good. Be connected to a church in obedience to God and for your own good. Be connected to a church. So most of our rationale for going to church is rooted in the Old Testament. God commanded his people to gather in a sacred assembly. It says in Leviticus 23, "There are 6 days when you may work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly." In the Old Testament, the people of God were commanded to gather together in a sacred assembly. They were to gather together to worship God. And this was the day that they went to the temple or went to the synagogue, which is the equivalent of what we do at church. It's our equivalent to church. There's lots of people that think that this command doesn't really apply to us today. But a lot of people don't realize that that same command is found in the New Testament as well. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." It says, "Let us not give up meeting together." Now, this isn't just your casual gathering of friends. It's not just a casual gathering that you can do whenever you want. But this word that's translated as meeting together is actually the verb form of synagogue. So essentially, it's saying, let us not stop synagoguing together. This is a direct reference to the command. This is a direct reference to the worship of God. We're to continue to gather in a sacred assembly. We're to gather for the worship of God. So this is God's command, sure. And as we'd expect, Jesus was faithful in following this command. Luke 4:16 says, "He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom." Jesus went to the synagogue every week. And I tell you, if anyone had the right to skip out on church, it was Jesus himself. Here's Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the very one who inspired the scriptures himself. He went to the synagogue to hear a rabbi comment on the very words that he inspired. Now I tell you, I've complained about preaching. I've complained about the service not being good. I'm too good at picking things out that I don't like. But if anyone had the right to complain this way, it was Jesus. But he was faithful. Some people don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Well, think about Jesus again. He came to worship with a pure heart, perfectly pure, something that we are unable to do. And as he looked around the congregation, he saw people who weren't singing. He saw people who didn't really want to be there. He saw people who were singing from their hearts, acting as if they were Christians. But he saw in their hearts, and he saw that they were hypocrites. He saw all this better than we will ever see it, and yet he was faithful. He didn't turn his back on the church. So you have seen the hypocrisy in church. The sermons really don't connect to you. It's socially uncomfortable. You decide to opt out, and you sleep in. It's really not worth the trouble. Well, I want to assure you that these problems do exist. But whatever excuse we have for turning our back on the church, it's not good enough. Jesus had the best excuses, but he was faithful. Be involved in the local church because of God's command and Christ's example. So we can acknowledge that this is God's command, but thankfully, God doesn't simply make rules just to assert his authority. When he makes a rule, it's always for our benefit. We receive many benefits when we connect ourselves to the church. And I want to point out three benefits when you connect yourself to a church. Three benefits that you receive. And the first benefit that we receive from connecting to the church is the privilege of worship. God has called us into a relationship with himself, and this relationship is the highest privilege that you could ever have as a human being. And when we gather together for worship as God's people, God has promised to meet with us in a very special way. Now, we'd all admit, at least most of us would admit, that God is everywhere. God is present at home, in class, at church. He's present everywhere. But in the Old Testament, God said that he was going to have his presence be especially made in the temple. He was going to be there in a special way. And that's why people went to the temple. It wasn't the same as just reading your Bible or praying at home. It was different. You went to the temple to meet with God in a special way. Well, today we don't have a temple made of stones and bricks and mortar, but we have a temple of bodies, a temple of people. When we gather together, we are the temple of God. And God meets with us in a special way. Gathering for worship on Sunday morning is different than just going out into the woods and reading your Bible and praying by yourself. In a special way, we get to meet with God. Are you going to throw this privilege away just because you want to sleep in? Or because it's socially uncomfortable? If Jesus came back to earth right now and stood before you and he said, I want to get together with you. So meet me in Phoenix, Arizona, and meet me at the airport there, and there's going to be some others there, and we're going to meet together. Now, most of you wouldn't say, well, you know, Phoenix, that's quite a ways. I don't really want to go there. And there's going to be other people there. I probably don't know them, so Jesus, thank you, but nah, I don't want to make the trip. No. Most of you, at an opportunity to meet with Jesus, you would buy the next plane ticket to Phoenix. Well, every Sunday morning, we get an opportunity to meet with Jesus. Meet with God in a special way. But we throw that privilege in the trash because we want to sleep in. Or because we're socially uncomfortable. We'd rather... worship. So the first benefit is the worship of God. The second benefit is guidance. Go to church to be guided by your spiritual leaders. Jesus Christ is the King. He is the head of the church, and whatever he says goes. And when he said that he gave gifts to men, he gave gifts to his church. And these gifts are church leaders, pastors, teachers, overseers, elders. He gave us these gifts to be in charge, to oversee us. In his perfect love, Jesus gave us these leaders to guide us and to watch out for us. They are our leaders. He gave us these leaders so that we will become mature in Christ, so that we won't be blown around by every new teaching, so that we will be rooted deeply in the Word of God. Pastors and elders exist for our good. They're here to watch out for us, to guide us, to teach us, and to build us up in the faith. This is a huge benefit. John Calvin, a great student of the Bible, once said that he who has God as his father must have the church as his mother. What did he mean by this? What did your mom do for you? She cared for you. She fed you first with milk and then gradually with solid food. She protected you. She taught you. She gave you rules to live by. She gave you chores to do. She chased after you when you ran away. She loved you. She loved you and she wanted you to grow into a mature, godly adult. The church nurtures us like a mother nurtures us, nurtures her child. As you used to cling to your mother, cling to the church for protection and nourishment and support. Find a church that'll feed you with the pure word of God, a church that'll push you to cling to Christ and to nothing else, a church that'll call you to die to your sins and to live for Christ. Connect yourself to a church where you can serve. Find a church that'll chase after you if you fall into sin or if you decide to walk away. You won't find the perfect church, but find one that will nurture you and will care for you like a mother. Go to the church to be guided by your spiritual leaders. This is a great privilege. So I've mentioned two now, worship and guidance. And the third I want to mention is fellowship. We go to church, we get connect ourselves to a church for fellowship. Connect ourselves to fellow believers. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. God made man so that he isn't supposed to live an isolated life. We need each other. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together or synagoguing together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." We need each other. We need to connect ourselves to each other, to encourage each other to live this life for Christ, to do good, to love each other, to run this race harder, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, to live this life for Christ. We need each other to do this. Think about a pile of glowing coals after a campfire. If you took a coal off the top of that pile and set it to the side, it would quickly lose its heat and it would turn black. But if you set it back on that pile of red coals, it would quickly gather heat from the other coals and ignite and glow red. When we isolate ourselves from other believers, our heat escapes. Our passion for Christ dies out. But when we gather with believers, we encourage each other to glow red hot. We encourage each other to live this life for Christ. This is the privilege we have when we connect ourselves to the church. So worship, guidance, and fellowship. These are privileges. Privileges that God has built into his church. Be connected to the church. College is a great time. You're learning to be independent. You're making friendships that'll last. You're studying a little, I hope. But these next years in college are going to define the years that come, the years to come in your life. You have big decisions to make. You get to decide a career path. Some of you may be deciding a spouse. Some of you are deciding whether or not to take this Christianity stuff seriously. These are big decisions, and these will have ramifications throughout the rest of your life. But there's one other decision that fits into this big decision category, and it's the decision of being connected to a church. In these college years, commit yourself to being a part of the family of God, a part of the body of Christ, a part of the church. I have a friend whose children are grown up. Some of them have kids. And about 3 years ago, one of his sons decided to go away for a little while. And he left. And his family hardly knew where he was. He wasn't around on family occasions. He was technically a part of the family, but he wasn't around. It was like he didn't exist. Well, a few months ago, my friend's wife passed away. And the family didn't even know if this guy, if their son was going to show up or not. Technically, he was a part of the family. He had the same last name, but for all practical purposes, he ceased to exist. Is this what it means to be a part of a family? Are you a Christian, but yet want nothing to do with the family of God, want nothing to do with the body of Christ? You may technically be a part of God's family. You may have the right last name. But if you've cut yourself off from the church, if you've cut yourself off from the body of Christ, then for all practical purposes, you have ceased to exist. Don't say you're a part of the family of God when you want nothing to do with the family of God. Recognize the importance of this decision. And during these college years, connect yourself to a local congregation. Connect yourself to the church. Don't starve your soul. And don't neglect the command of God. Don't throw away the privileges of worship and guidance and fellowship. Be connected to the church in obedience to God and for your own good. I have one last thing to say and then I'll let you go. I don't blame a lot of you for doing your homework during this time. I don't blame a lot of you for taking a nap during this time. I really don't blame a lot of you for not really caring at all what happens in chapel. And I don't blame you because some of you don't know God. You don't yet know him. Well, there is nothing more important in life than having a relationship with the God, the living God, the God Most High, God the Creator. Well, you've been to Bible class. You know what who God is. You know about God. But I tell you, knowing about God is one thing, but knowing God is something entirely different. The only way you can know God, the only way you can have a relationship with God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus, God himself, entered this world as a man. He lived the perfect life, the life that was required of us, and then he died the death of a sinner. And he did this to save people like you and me. I call you now to turn from your sin and turn to Christ. Cling to him. He will wash away your sins and clothe you with righteousness. He will fulfill you at the core of your being. Then you will know God. Ignore this message, and this will cost you your life. I plead with you, come to Christ and be reconciled to God. Follow Christ, serve God, join the church. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you have given us the privilege of being a part of the body of Christ. There are so many privileges in that we don't even understand it. But we ask, O God, that you would ignite in our hearts a desire to be a part of your church, a part of the family of God, to serve and to be served. A part of the family of God so that we can worship you, so that we can be guided by our spiritual leaders, and so that we can enjoy fellowship with other believers. We ask that you would do this, build your church for your name's sake and not for our own. We ask in Jesus, our Savior and our King. Amen. You're dismissed.